Welcome to another episode of Storyteller Studio, where we're keeping the art of conversation alive through genuine curiosity. And we're eager to share it with folks around the world. As a radio announcer, Tim believes there's something unique about sitting behind a microphone and just allowing the stories to flow. Often people simply need a reason to enjoy each other. And we have found plenty of others who feel the same way. Tim and his guest may have known each other for 30 years or for 3 minutes. From historians, musicians, artists, and manufacturers to filmmakers, authors, and media types. We all may know bits and pieces about a person, but there's always something more. So while we grab our headphones and turn up the mics, it's your chance to eavesdrop on yet another episode of Storyteller Studio.
This is certainly one of those archival episodes. It was the summer of 1979 and my grandfather was in northern Illinois. I always had remembered him as being very old. Well, simple math today tells me that he was about 84 at the time of this recording. I was already in radio a couple of years, so I was seeking out things to record and it became a commonplace. I'm sure that my cassette player cost more than I was willing to pay at the time, and it was either Sears or Radio Shack that separated me from my money. Emmanuel Larson never had to be asked twice to recite The Cremation of Sam McGee, written by Robert Service. He proudly had it firmly committed to memory until the day before he died at the age of 96. Now in 2021, I decided to take a crack at it when I returned to the airwaves of WLUV Radio. Of course, my version involved a script and with a larger than normal font size. So let's see how our spoken words will paint pictures within your mind. You'll hear from my grandfather, Emmanuel Larson, first. Enjoy.
This is Emmanuel Larson speaking at Linda Dingus's residence, the 6th day of June, 1979. And I am about to recite the poem written by Robert Service, entitled The Cremation of Sam McGee. There are strange things done by the midnight sun, by the men that toil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, the queerest that they ever did see was on the night of the march of Lake Lebarge when I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the south to roam around the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land for gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say, in his peculiar way, that he was sooner lived in hell. It was on a Christmas day that we were marching our way up the Dawson Trail. Talk of cold through the parka's fold to stab like a driven nail. If our eyes we closed, the lashes froze, till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robe beneath the snow, the dogs were fed and the stars overhead were dancing heel and toe. He turned to me and Cap said he, I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking of you that you won't refuse my last request. Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no, and he said in a sort of a moan, it's a cursed cold that's got right a hold, and I'm chilled clean through the bone. It's not being dead, but it's the awful dread of that icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate those last remains. Well, a pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I wouldn't fail. We started out at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death. I hurried, horror-driven. With a corpse half-hid, I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, you may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains. Well, a promise made is a debt unpaid. The trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, and my heart, how I cursed that load. And the long, long night in the lone firelight, the huskies round in the ring, howled out their woes to the homeless souls. Oh, God, how I loved that thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavier and heavier grow. And on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad, but I felt half mad, and I swore that I wouldn't give in. I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it would hearken with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake LaBarge of Derrick there lay. It was jammed in ice, and I saw in a trice, and it was called the Alice May. I looked at it, and I thought of it, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then here, said I, with a sudden cry, is my crematorium. Some plank I tore from the cabin floor and lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel up higher. The flames just soared and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal and stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. The skies scowled and the huskies howled and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, I don't know why, and a greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow that I wrestled with grisly fear. The stars came out and danced about. Again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and this time I looked, and the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm, in the heart of that furnace roar. He wore a smile that you could see a mile, and he said, please close that door. It is nice in here, but I greatly fear that you let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plum Tree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm.
Hi to everyone listening to Storyteller Studio podcast all over the world. I'm Allie Ivy, and I'm here to tell you that Tim really appreciates your dedication to the show. But I'm also here to let you in on a huge secret. Tim Larson leads a second life as an author. I'm not kidding. As a writer, he's known as Tim Dingus, D-I-N-G-U-S. His three drastically different books can be easily found on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You'll find Things to Think About, The Comings and Goings of T-Shirts, and The Power of Props. As we all know, Tim's mind runs nonstop, and these are just the book versions. Just search Tim Dingus on Amazon and discover the author side of your podcast host. Now back to more Storyteller Studio.
There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. And the Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was the night of the marge of Lake LaBarge when I cremated Sam McGee. Now, Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell. Though he'd often say in his homey way, I'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of cold. Through the parka's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd close, then our lashes froze, and sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we laid packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed and the stars over our head were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me, and Cap said he, I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking of you that you won't refuse my last request. Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of a moan, it's the cursed cold, and it's got right a hold, and I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet ain't being dead, and that awful dread of that icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you will cremate my last remains. A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart how I cursed that load. In the long, long night, in the lone firelight, while the huskies round the ring howled out their woes to the homeless snows, oh God, how I loathed that thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavier and heavier grow, and on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad and I felt half mad, but I swore I wouldn't give in. And I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake LaBarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in ice, and I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then here, I said, with a sudden cry, is my crematorium. Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was laying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared. Such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in that glowing coal and stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak then streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about, and ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, "I'll just take a peek inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked." Then the door I opened wide, and there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile that you could see for a mile, and he said, "Please close that door. It's fine in here, and I greatly fear that you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm."
Thank you for joining us in the Storyteller Studio with Tim Larson, where everything begins with a story.